and blessed is the child you will bear. She hadn't seen the baby, but the presence of Jesus, even in the womb, pulled worship out of her. She knew that this king brings a joy that overflows.
So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Rach. I'm the worship coordinator here at York Street, and it is such an honour to be able to share the message tonight. This is not something that I hold lightly. It's truly such a privilege. And I'm going to start out tonight with a kind of gross story. Do you guys want to hear a gross story?
Yeah.
I love how enthusiastic you are. You know it's going to be good when it starts like that, I think. So I have two beautiful children, Leo and Macy. Oh, are they gorgeous? Leo is 8. But when Leo was about 6 to 8 months old, I was out there in the foyer. Oh, look at how cute he is. I was out there in the foyer having a chat to my brother and my niece. And Leo had like a bit of a cold, so there was like remnants of that cold. And I mean, let's be honest, babies usually have something coming out of their faces, so it didn't really make too much difference. But we're standing out there, we're chatting away, and I look over at Leo, who I'm just holding on my hip, and he's just snot and dribble everywhere. And so I do the whole pat down, and there's no tissues, so I use nature's tissue. And just the next best thing, which is my hand. And I just wiped it across his face and rubbed it down the side of my jeans. So for those of you taking notes tonight, this is the first thing you need to write down if you aren't already a parent. If you're planning on having kids, this is the one time in your life where wearing black will betray you. It's like snail trails everywhere. It's not okay. So write that down. That's very important. So I've just wiped his mouth, wiped it down the side of my jeans, and I didn't think anything of it. Nothing of it. Until I look at my niece's face and the horror. She was absolutely disgusted. And it was in that moment where I felt the cool auntie energy just completely drain out of my body. But it was also that moment of seeing that disgust on her face, that I realized just how much my little boy Leo had changed me in some really wonderful ways, but some also not so glamorous ways. And the reason why I wanted to share this story tonight is because, have you ever noticed just how much a baby changes everything? You don't even have to be a parent to know this. A baby shows up and suddenly people start acting differently. Rooms get quieter, our voices get higher because they're so cute. And babies with nothing more than their sheer existence have a way of pulling us into something new. And as Christmas is fast approaching, obviously, we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus, a baby who truly changed everything. The birth of Jesus didn't just change the atmosphere of the room. Heaven rejoiced, stars shone brighter, and earth? Well, that's what we're going to look at tonight. What does earth say about this king? Earth had a lot to say. And tonight, I want us to look at how this baby changed the lives of many, and more importantly, explore what our hearts say about him, the one true king. But first, we're going to pray. Lord God, I thank you so much that you sent Jesus. And just as Tim said, you sent Jesus to be the salvation of humanity. We know that this side of the cross. But Lord God, I pray that as we unpack how the earth reacted to the birth of Jesus, Lord God, I pray that we have open hearts. But Lord, more importantly, that we have open hands to what it is that you want us to hand over to you tonight, Lord. We thank you so much that we can read your word and read these incredible stories, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that your word is spoken tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, we're going to look at 5 different responses to Jesus' birth. 5 windows into the human heart
and what they reveal about Jesus. And if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them. We have a fair bit of scripture tonight, which is fantastic. We're going to start at the start of Luke, but also put a thumbnail in the start of Matthew. So our first reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 41 to 45. And I do encourage you, bring your Bibles to church. This thing, the book of the Bible, is truly a sacred thing. I really believe that. So keep bringing them. I love hearing the pages. It's so good. So Luke chapter 1, verses 41 to 45 says, "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her.'" Elizabeth, who was carrying her own miracle baby at the time, is filled with the Holy Spirit the moment she interacts with Mary. She doesn't just greet her, she erupts. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." She hadn't seen the baby, but the presence of Jesus, even in the womb, pulled worship out of her. She knew that this king brings a joy that overflows. Have you ever experienced when someone walks into the room and they change the atmosphere? Well, that's Jesus. When he is near, the Spirit moves and joy rises up. For Elizabeth, Jesus' presence on earth brought a deep joy, so deep that even the baby in her womb leapt. So Elizabeth shows us that Jesus brings joy. Next, we read about the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" As Leah mentioned last week, that in Bible times, the shepherds would have been considered of low social status. They would have had rough hands and dirt under their nails. And you know that smell when a stock truck passes you on the freeway. Yeah, I kind of imagine they may have smelt a little bit like that. Yet, when those angels lit up the sky and announced the king's birth, they didn't hesitate. They said, "Let's go right now and see this thing that's happened." They hurried off in search of Jesus. No questioning, no delay, and no time to clean up. This is the heart of someone who knows that the king is worth seeking, someone who longs to be in the presence of God. And it goes on to say, "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told." There was an urgency in their hearts to be in the presence of Jesus. And I want you to keep in mind that Jesus was still just a baby. He didn't perform any miracles. The shepherds didn't receive healing. And yet they still couldn't keep what they had seen and what they had experienced to themselves. They found him wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger, and it was enough to make them run out and tell everyone they could. The impact of his presence was something they could not keep to themselves. This king is worth dropping everything for. The shepherds show us that there is an urgency to be in the presence of Jesus, and Jesus' presence changes everything. Staying in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 32, we read about Simeon. Now there was a man called Simeon, a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." This man, Simeon, had been waiting, not for a sign, not for a feeling, but for a person. And the moment he holds Jesus, he says, "Now, Lord, you can let me die in peace. I have seen the Savior." That's how complete Jesus' presence was for him. This king wasn't just a baby. He was the fulfillment of a lifelong hope. Jesus is the peace that satisfies the deepest longing of the heart. So Simeon shows us that Jesus brings complete peace. The fourth group of people that we read about are the Magi in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. It says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' These wise men from the east were not Jewish. They were not raised on the Jewish prophecies, and yet they saw the star, and they knew something bigger than them was happening. They packed up, and they traveled far, and arrived with treasures. They didn't come to get something from Jesus, they came to give. This king is worthy of honor, even from outsiders." And it goes on to say in verse 11 that on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They remind us that it doesn't matter where you come from. When you recognize the king, worship is the only right response. We can't keep our worship locked behind our preferences or our schedules. Jesus is always worthy of worship. So the Magi show us that Jesus is to be worshipped. So the final person that we read about tonight is Herod. And for Herod, it was different. For him, the birth of Jesus didn't bring joy or an urgency to be in his glorious presence. It didn't bring him peace, and he was not going to worship this king. In fact, we read in Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, that when King Herod heard about Jesus' birth, he was disturbed. He tried to trick the Magi into telling him where Jesus was, but God had warned the Magi in a dream not to go back to Herod and to leave for their homeland via a different route. And it goes on to say in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, that when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all of the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity that were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Herod wasn't joyful, or peaceful, or worshipful. He was disturbed, angry, and afraid. And out of that fear, he did the unthinkable. Because when Jesus shows up, he claims authority. He threatened Herod's kingship. Herod felt it, and he tried to stop it. He tried to kill the king before he could even grow up. And as I was reading about people's responses to Jesus, when I came to Herod, his actions asked me this sobering question. If I am completely honest, if we are completely honest, is Jesus a joy to us or a threat to our control? For a time in my life, Jesus was a threat to my control. At least he seemed like it. He seemed like a threat to my kingdom. I wanted to rule. I wanted to call the shots. I had made a life for myself, and I did what I wanted, and I followed what the world said would make me happy. And it kind of did for a time, but it didn't complete me, and it soon wore out. I saw people experiencing joy and peace and even leaving everything for Jesus. But I was still so threatened by him, because it felt like I had to change too much. It felt like I had to change my entire way of life. And just like Liam said last week, Jesus doesn't force us to choose him. And so the more I tried to deny God, the stronger the effects of my lifestyle choices became. I had gotten to this point where I woke up every other day hungover, and I was just done chasing thrills for a happiness that only lasted a moment before it was swallowed by darkness. And as much as I posted a smile on Facebook and did all the right things, I was so tired and I was so empty, until I finally gave up and I surrendered to Jesus. And I'm so happy to tell you that he took down the kingdom I'd created. He changed me forever with his love. And what I gave up was nothing compared to what I received in Jesus. And I can tell you 100%, 10 out of 10 times, 24/7, that he is so much better at being God than what I am. Jesus didn't come to fit into our plans. He came to lead. And he does it with so much grace and so much love. He is either king of all or not at all. That choice is yours. I had the best the world could offer, and yet my heart still longed for more. My heart knew that I needed Jesus. And what the Magi, Simeon, the shepherds, and Elizabeth experienced as Jesus entered this earth is the same thing that we experience when we ask Jesus to enter our lives as King. There is worship. When the Magi saw the star, they dropped everything and followed it for miles and for months just to find Jesus. They didn't do this for their gain. They did it simply because Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And for that, he is worthy of all the honor and all the praise. And they gave him gifts. They gave him their best. And I am sure that they were tired, that they were weary from their travel. Yet they still worship the King. Our worship to Jesus is beyond feelings and beyond circumstances. He is worthy of worship, full stop. There is peace. When Simeon had waited his whole life for the Messiah, not for fame, not for success, but for one moment to simply see the Savior. And when he holds Jesus, he says, "Now I can die in peace." There was complete peace because Jesus brings complete fulfillment. He satisfies, not temporarily, but fully. The peace that you are looking for from anxiety, from burnout, from fear is found in Jesus. It's a peace that's beyond understanding and beyond our circumstances. And there is an urgency for his presence. The shepherd's response was, "Let's go and see this thing." They didn't ask, "What will people think?" They didn't delay. They ran towards Jesus. He is worth moving for, worth chasing, worth dropping everything for. The King is worth seeking, and the impact of his presence is better than anything this world can offer, because nothing compares to Jesus. There is joy. Where Jesus is, joy shows up. Like we've been speaking about remaining in the vine, it's the fruit of being connected to him. It's not hype. And again, it's not circumstantial. It's deep, real, pure, untouchable joy that only his Spirit can give us. Real joy doesn't come from monies or parties or your relationship status. It comes from the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. Jesus didn't come to be the side character. He came to be King. So I ask, what does your heart say about this King? Tim will unpack our response to this more on Christmas Day. But the question that I want to leave you with tonight is there anything that you need to surrender into the faithful hands of Jesus? I encourage you not to just brush past this question. I encourage you to really seek the depths of your heart on this one, to receive prayer, to use our last worship song as an opportunity to seek someone out and say, "Will you pray for me?" Tell a friend, get accountability if you need it. And remember that he is so much better at being God than we are. Jesus was not just a baby in a manger. He is the King who came low to our level to lift us up to his level. Heaven couldn't stay silent, and the stars literally shifted. And people reacted in ways that show this Jesus truly is the King of Kings. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much that you are King. That you are King not just of heaven, but of earth. And Lord God, I pray that we put you in a position where you are King of our lives, Lord. We thank you for Elizabeth, for the shepherds, for Simeon, for the Magi, for the examples that they gave us of joy, of peace, of an urgency to be in your presence, for that reminder that your presence changes everything, Lord. And also that when we are in your presence, when we are faced with Jesus, that worship is the only right response, Lord. We thank you for their examples. And Lord God, I want to pray that if there is any Herod in us, if there is anything in us that is feeling threatened, Lord, we know you don't condemn that. You just want us to let you in. You just want us to invite you into those places, Lord, to surrender it all into the faithful hands of Jesus. Because there is enough love and there is enough grace to cover it all. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you that you met us on our level. Not just to leave us here in the mess that we made, but to lift us up into something so much greater, so much more beautiful, so much higher than we could ever imagine, Lord. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that this is a time of year where we get to remember that heaven touched earth, that you came and you changed everything forever, Lord God. Help us to surrender everything to you, Jesus. You are faithful. You are good. And we want to make you king of our lives, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for watching this sermon. If you are interested in having a look at our sermon-based studies, please visit our website or check the description below for a link. And if you enjoyed the video, please share, like, and subscribe to keep updated. And as you go out, have a blessed and joyous week.